You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? How you doing? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday. Flying through the week already, right? March 6, 2019. Your boy Q here with you as always. Check out me on Twitter at your boy Q254 anytime you want. You could send me a message. You can shoot me a tweet. It don't matter. Whatever you want to do, it is all good at your boy Q254. I'll always get back to you ASAP. That's just how I get down. Coming up on today's show, in segment number three, I got some more calls from that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I told you I'm going to keep churning those out each and every day, trying to get through them through the week. So I got only a small handful of calls, but some really good detailed calls. Definitely going to get to that in segment number three. In segment number two, going to talk about free agent safeties. There's a lot of free agent safeties going to be on the market that the Raiders could be interested in, maybe interested in. I know a lot of folks that listen to this podcast have actually hit me up on Twitter and said, hey, this could be a guy that the Raiders would be interested in. I know there's been a lot of conversation regarding Landon Collins. That was a guy that I talked about on Tuesday's episode. We're going to talk about him again on Wednesday's episode, but not only him, but a guy that's currently on the Raiders that's going to need a contract shortly, and that's Carl Joseph. Going to kind of talk about him as well, plus a lot of the free agents that are out there as far as safeties go, and maybe a guy that the Raiders would be interested in, maybe a name on this list that you'd be interested in the Raiders going after. So we'll talk about that in segment number two. But segment number one, got to stick with the Kyler Murray conversation, right? There's a lot to unpack when it comes to the Kyler Murray conversation. First of all, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. He is the new number one draft guru on the NFL Network now that Mike Mayock is the GM of the Raiders. He just did a hell of a job at the Combine. You heard his teleconference breakdown on this very podcast. And again, he's my go-to guy. He's put out Mock Draft 2.0, and he's moved Kyler Murray into the number one spot, moved Nick Bosa down to number two for the San Francisco 49ers to take, and his network associate, Charlie Casserly, he actually has confirmed and has reported that the Cardinals are in fact shopping Josh Rosen, and at least one team has confirmed that to him. That's what he said on NFL Network. Also, something that I found very intriguing that he said on NFL Network, he was talking about Kyler Murray and what he did at the interviews. You know, at the Combine, he didn't do a whole lot. He went in there, he measured, and he did the interviews. Me personally, I thought he should have gone in there, measured, and done the interviews, but aced the interviews. Well, according to Charlie Casserly, it didn't sound like he did a very good job. So I just want you to hear, it's about 45 seconds. This is what Charlie Casserly is saying about Kyler Murray, the reports he got from what he did as far as the interview goes, as far as the board work goes, retaining plays and all that good stuff. Yeah, this is Charlie Casserly on NFL Network Tuesday talking about Kyler Murray.
Well, you better hope Kingsbury takes him number one, because this was not good. This was the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback, and I've been doing this a long time. Leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas, see? And raising major concerns about what this guy's going to do. Now, people will say, well, we're going to compare him to Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Baker Mayfield. But those guys are much different. I mean, those guys, you never question about their ability on the board. You never question their leadership ability, their work habits. They were outstanding in those areas. This guy's not outstanding in those areas. It showed up in the interview.
So there it goes. That wasn't very flattering right there. And so it makes me wonder, something like that makes me wonder, why would a dude do that? Why would a dude who's really aiming to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, wants to get drafted as high as he possibly can, why would he just go in there and not have good interviews? You're not going to go work out. You're not working out till March 13th when your pro day is at Oklahoma. Why would you not go in there and just kill those interviews? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he's talking about he doesn't have very good retention. He doesn't have very good study habits. It's hard for me to believe that a guy that went undefeated in high school, and I know high school is a different animal, but then also led his D1 college team, college program in Oklahoma into the playoffs, the same as Baker Mayfield did, got up against Alabama, and just about staged a comeback in the playoffs. If his defense wasn't terrible, who knows the outcome of that game? You know what I mean? Like, he went and won the Heisman Trophy, led his team, his college team, to the playoffs in a matchup with Alabama, took the L, but still did a hell of a job while he was at it. How could a guy like that not retain any kind of football knowledge? How can a guy not do very good board work? How could a guy not have very good study habits? You would think that that dude knows it like the back of his hand. Is that because of the system that he was in? You know what I mean? It makes me think a few different things. Is that because of the system he was in Oklahoma and he dumbed it down and made it very simple for him? Because he's not just a guy that just ran around the yard and just killed it on it with his legs. I mean, he was the total package. He's got the arm strength. He's got the talent. You know what I mean? He was very accurate. Yes, he keeps plays alive with his feet. Like my old country homeboy said, he got out of there like old scalded dog. I didn't know what that meant until he explained it to me, but it's cool. That's because I'm a city dude, not a country guy, but that's an old country saying. You know, he shot out of there like a scalded dog. I think that's pretty funny. But anyway, that's a side story. But yeah, I mean, he's got all the tools. So it just kind of made me think, why would a guy go to the combine where a lot of people would love to be in that position and not really ace what he needs to ace being the interviews when you know you're not going to work out? Does that mean that the Cardinals have already indicated to him that, hey, you're going number one overall, you ain't got to worry about that? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many things that play into this factor. I bring this up and I talk about him on the podcast, not because I think the Raiders are going to take him, even though there's so many reports out there that the Raiders are trying to put together a super team, or Gruden's trying to put together a super team, and he really wants them. I think John Gruden's doing a hell of a job putting those rumors out there so people start believing them, and teams try to trade up and go get them, or the Cardinals are kind of forced to pull the trigger on Murray at number one and not try to move back at all, thinking that the Raiders are going to get him at number four. I think John Gruden is really playing the best poker game, and I know that, you know, Peter King has been told that John Gruden is the worst poker player. I just don't buy that. I still got it at an 80-20% with, like I said on Tuesday's show, I got an 80% chance that the Cardinals take him number one overall and 20% chance that they don't take him and the Raiders take him at number four. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. I think Gruden is really playing the game right, but the way this whole draft shakes out has so much to do with the number one overall spot, and that's not just because of the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. Think about this. Their division rival, not a rival, but a team in their division is picking number two in San Francisco. Do the Cardinals want to hand Nick Bosa to the San Francisco 49ers, knowing the 49ers would love to get Nick Bosa? You know what I'm saying? And the only reason I didn't even think of that, to be honest, Alex Clancy from Locked On Cardinals and also Fox Sports 910 in Phoenix, he was on my radio show on ESPN Central Texas on Tuesday, and he brought that up. I asked him a question about, okay, if it's not Kyler Murray, would you go Nick Bosa? Would you go Quinnen Williams? What would be the option? And he's the one who brought this to my attention. So here's my question, and here's his answer, and how it affects the draft. Let me ask you this. If the Cardinals stay pat at number one and they decide, you know what, Josh Rosen's the guy, we're not going to take Kyler Murray after all. You mentioned Nick Bosa. You mentioned Quinnen Williams. In your opinion, which one would be the better fit for the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I'm not going to deflect, but the March 13th is a very big day in free agency. Because C.J. Mosley is now no longer a Raven, and because Justin Houston is now no longer a Chief, there are bigger names, there will be cap casualties that will be coming out. So, before answering that question, free agency is going to be a huge teller on what the Cardinals are going to do in the draft. So, say they go and get an edge rusher. Say they go and get a Mike in the new 3-4 defense that they're going to implement with Vance Joseph this year. If they do that, then I say Quinnen Williams is the guy. And if that's the case, then the Cardinals, in no way, shape, or form, this is very important to you to understand, the Cardinals in no way can draft anybody except for Nick Bosa at number one overall, unless it's Kyler Murray. If you draft Quinnen Williams at number one and you gift wrap Nick Bosa to the San Francisco 49ers, an interdivisional opponent that you're going to see twice a year who desperately need and want Nick Bosa, you are doing a disservice to your franchise for the future. If you don't draft Nick Bosa number one, you trade down and make San Francisco pay for who they want at number two, and the Cardinals inevitably will take Quinnen Williams then. So to answer your question, it's Nick Bosa or bust for me. And if they want somebody besides Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams ran the fastest 40 time of anybody over 300 pounds in the last almost decade. If that's your guy, you in no way draft him at number one without making San Francisco pay for Nick Bosa.
So that's what really brought that to my attention and made me think, well, damn, the Cardinals don't want to just hand Nick Bosa to the 49ers. Like he said, he wants the 49ers to have to work for it. So what are the 49ers going to have to do to get their guy? So not only are the Cardinals trying to play Jedi mind tricks with the rest of the draft, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do at their position, they're also trying to figure out what they're going to do from stopping the 49ers from getting the one guy that they really want. Everyone knows that the 49ers would love to have Nick Bosa because that's one of their biggest needs, is that edge rusher. So that also, all of a sudden, now is playing in my mind like, oh, man, it's about to get crazy. You know what I mean? Like, what the 49ers have to trade up to get their guy, don't they? I mean, it's just, it's really, really crazy. Basically, Arizona and San Francisco are going to be in a dogfight. They're going to have to fight it out, slug it out to the end. But again, it's going to affect the Raiders if they stick at number four, because there's going to be quality defenders dropped to them. I say all that to say there's going to be some quality defenders dropped to them. And depending on what San Francisco has to do to get their guy, and believe me, they want to get their guy, and who the Cardinals guy really is, is really going to set the tone for the rest of the first round of the draft. And then you think about this. If the guy that the Jets want isn't there, they're going to be looking to trade out of that spot. Matter of fact, Mike McCagnan, their GM, has already said that he'd be very interested in trading back. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to get a quarterback, but a team like the Giants might want to go get a quarterback. Maybe they want to guarantee that they're going to get Haskins. Maybe they think that, you know, the Raiders are going to go get a quarterback. You know, that's why I say that Derek Carr, shopping a Derek Carr rumor is floating out there. I think John Gruden's doing a hell of a job. There's going to be a lot of interest going on. I don't know how much the Raiders are going to be able to trade back, at least in the first round, at least in the first five, the top five, because I'm thinking that a team like the Jets will probably get more action at the trade position. I think the Cardinals are going to get a lot of trade action, and I think the 49ers will as well. But I think the 49ers are going to have to really work to try to get up to that number one spot, and then that's going to ultimately take away from their stock that they can get. Cardinals don't want to just hand them Nick Bosa, and I thought that my man Alex brought up a really, really good point that I hadn't thought of. So, Raider Nation, that's just something for you to simmer on. What the Raiders are doing, in my opinion, is they're playing smart cards. They really are. They're doing this poker game the right way, even though most believe John Gruden is a dummy and really doesn't know what he's doing and can't play poker. I think he's spot on. Maybe not spot on, but I think he's doing a heck of a job. I think Mike Mayock's doing a heck of a job with getting all this traction and all these rumors stirred up. And I think it's going to play out really well for the Raiders and see all these other teams kind of fight at the top. It's almost like you're stirring up stuff between other teams, and then you're going to watch them duke it out and fight it out, and then you're going to be left with the whole bounty right in front of you. That's just what I'm thinking. So that's what I wanted to bring to the table with Kyler Murray. Each and every day, I think that this saga is going to continue until either Josh Rosen is traded, and then everyone knows for a fact that, okay, Kyler Murray is going to be the dude, or another team hurries up and makes a move. And we know that that could happen at any time. One thing I did want to point out also before we get to segment number two, my guy, James Arcelana, my podcast partner on Black Hole Banter, the guy who really got me into this game to begin with, he said on Twitter today, as he's vacationing in Italy, just going to throw that out there. I don't mean to put his business in the street, but that's, well, I just did. Anyway, whatever. He said, and I quote, "I have a feeling this offseason is going to show that despite the Mac and Cooper trades, Gruden was never looking to rebuild. He just wants to be the one that chooses his toys." If Gruden is entertaining the thoughts of acquiring an AB, acquiring possibly a Kyler Murray, acquiring a Le'Veon Bell, putting that super team together that's been rumored, and I don't know how real that is, but it's been floated out there that he's thinking about a super team, then my man James Arcelana would be absolutely correct. You can always follow him on Twitter as well, at Raiders Reporter. That's my homeboy. That's my brother from another mother. I got a bunch of those, but shout out to him while he's in Italy. Hope he brings me something back, but I'm sure he won't. Anyway, it's all good. Coming up in segment number two, free agent safeties. There's a lot of them out there. The market is large. Who do you want to go get? Raider Nation, do you want the Raiders to get anybody, or do you want them to stick to the draft? That's coming up next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday, March the 6th, 2019, your boy Q here, and I told you we're going to talk free agent safeties, right? Well, absolutely. There's a bunch of safeties that are already becoming available that if the Raiders want to go out there and they're interested in a guy, they can go get a guy. Now, obviously, a lot of the conversation, especially on Tuesday after the 3 o'clock deadline, well, 3 o'clock Central Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Time, obviously 4 p.m. on the East Coast. Once that time went by and Landon Collins had not been franchise tagged by the Giants, everybody and their mother, and we talked about it briefly on Tuesday's show, but everybody and their mother got hot and heavy about Landon Collins. Go get that guy at Raiders. Go get that guy on Twitter. Just blew up. Go get that guy. That's the guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what it is. But I ask you this, Raider Nation. I kind of put that out there. Is he a player? Hell yeah. He's a hell of a player. Landon Collins is really good. I think it's silly that the Giants didn't hold on to him. His franchise tag, I thought it was $15 million. It's not. It's only $11 million. That's not a lot of money. They're paying guys that aren't very, not very good, but aren't as good as him. They're paying them a lot more money, but I've said it before that Dave Gettleman and his philosophy is not about secondary. It's not about the back end. It's about the defensive line. And yes, I know that, you know, you win games in the trenches, but you got to show some love to the safeties in the corners as well. And Dave Gettleman just does not do that. Plus, who knows where the Giants really are as far as trying to win right now. So I could see them trying to unload some guys that are going to cost some money to try to get some younger talent. It happens, Raider Nation. We've seen it firsthand, right? Okay, so Landon Collins is out there available, but if you believe that Carl Joseph is going to be around with the Raiders for a long haul, do you want to pair Landon Collins and Carl Joseph? Both of those guys are both in the box safeties. You know what I mean? Both of those guys are in the box safeties, not free safeties that are going to float around the backfield and create some turnovers and be that eraser on the back end. Yeah, Landon Collins will come up there and lay the wood, and he's a sure tackler. But Carl Joseph, I mean, he looks like a pistol out there, right? Or a missile. He goes out there and just tries to blow you up. And, you know, he's created a few turnovers here and there. And I know Collins has more production than Carl Joseph does, but Landon Collins is going to want some money. He's definitely going to want some money. He's only 25 years old, so he's going to want some money. Carl Joseph is 26 years old, and he's about to go into his fifth-year option. So do you think that the Raiders pick up his fifth-year option and then move him? Do you think that he's going to be long for the Raiders? Do you want, you know what I mean? Like, that's the question. Don't forget, Joel Siegel is Carl Joseph's agent. But I think that that situation with Joel Siegel and his clients and the Raiders and all that situation that went down with Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper and all that, I think that's kind of to the side now. I heard that John Gruden actually met with Siegel at the Senior Bowl or before the Senior Bowl and actually kind of smoothed some things over. So hopefully that's the case, because there's nothing more silly than not being able to go after a client or going after a guy or sticking with the guy because of the fact that, you know, he's represented by a dude that you just can't get along with. That just doesn't make any sense, but it happens. So hopefully that's not the case. But anyway, back to what I was saying. So do you want the Raiders to go after Landon Collins and spend a bunch of money on him, or do you want them to have Carl Joseph play out his fifth year and then have to give him a contract extension? You know what I mean? It's just, I mean, you just got to think about it. What would you rather have? But you have two guys that are similar. One has more production on the books right now is Landon Collins, you know, played more games, but still, it's just, which one would you rather have? I don't know if you want both. Now, also on Tuesday, Eric Weddle was released by the Ravens, so now he's available. And look, that's somebody that the Raiders went after, and he chose to go to Baltimore. But Eric Weddle's older. He's 34 years old. Solid contributor. You know he could play that center field position. He's a veteran that Gruden would probably love. Not a long-term fix, 1 to 2 years. I get that. But he's very durable. He's very reliable. He's a guy that you know is going to be available each and every Sunday. So now all of a sudden you have Landon Collins. You still have Carl Joseph on your roster. Eric Weddle's out there. Oh, that's not it, though. No, that's not it. Now, what about LaMarcus Joyner from the Rams? He's a guy who's available. Earl Thomas from the Seahawks. He's available. Eric Weddle, I just mentioned, from the Ravens. He's available. Tyrann Mathieu from the Texans, the Honey Badger. He's available. Adrian Amos from the Bears. He's available. Ha-ha Clinton Dix from the Redskins. He's available. Adrian Phillips from the Chargers. He's available. And Kenny Vaccaro from the Titans. He's available, too. Look at this list of safeties. I bring up all these names because it is only March 6th, and all of these safeties are available. Obviously, Carl Joseph is a current Raider right now, and everyone believes he's going to get his fifth-year option picked up, and so that's fine. But everyone else is available safety. And if you remember the market in 2018 for safeties, remember the Honey Badger signed in Houston for $7 million on a one-year deal. Remember how long it took Kenny Vaccaro to get a job? Remember how long it took Eric Reed to get a job? Remember how long it took, who's the dude with the long hair that used to be a Charger and he's a Cardinal? I forgot, but he's going to be available too. Trey Boston, he's going to be available as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of safeties that are available. Do you want the Raiders to go out there and get a guy? I could honestly see them going and trying to get a good, decent deal with Eric Weddle and having him for 1 to 2 years, similar to what Reggie Nelson was, but a much better, much more reliable Reggie Nelson, in my opinion. A guy who worries about his craft more than he worries about, you know, whatever Reggie Nelson was worried about. He wasn't worried about playing because he sure stunk. But anyway, so all those guys are available. So if you're going after it, do you break the bank? And I don't know exactly how much the bank would be broken for Landon Collins, but I'm assuming 12 to 13 million a year. I'm assuming 4 or 5 years. I'm assuming, you know, 20-something mil guaranteed. You know what I mean? I mean, it's got to be something up there. It's got to be a decent amount of money. I mean, this dude's going to get some change. You know, he's going to get some money. Again, he's only 25 years old. He just turned 25 in January. So that's the question I have. You know, which direction do you want the Raiders to go with the safety position? Are you sold on Carl Joseph? The Raiders seemed like to like him towards the end of the season. He seemed like he got a lot better towards the end of the season. So do you hold on to your guy? Or do you go out and get another guy that's similar to him? Do you want two guys out there, two Carl Josephs? Think about this. Do you want two Carl Josephs out there playing center field? I don't think you do. I think you want one guy who could be an in-the-box, come up and thump and play the run and do what he's got to do that way. And then you want a guy that can roam around, match up with safeties, you know, be in coverage and create a lot of turnovers or try to create turnovers, you know, break up a lot of passes. You want, honestly, you probably want more of an Earl Thomas guy who's an eraser than you do a Landon Collins who's a thumper. That's if you keep Carl Joseph. You know what I mean? So what do you do? Or do you don't worry about the free agent safeties and go and get a guy that you feel like could be the eraser, the free safety out there through the draft? There's a lot of different options you have here, Raider Nation. And again, with all the holes that the Raiders have, you want to make sure that anytime you spend the money, you spend the money wisely. If you're going to go off the free agent list, again, think about it. You got Landon Collins. You got LaMarcus Joyner. You got Earl Thomas. Eric Weddle. The Honey Badger. I mean, that dude, all he does is make plays. I wouldn't be upset seeing the Honey Badger back there because I know one way or the other, he's going to be around the ball. Adrian Amos, he just came from the Bears. You know, he's a hell of a safety. They can't afford him. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. Well, when he was with the Green Bay Packers, he was really, really good. His time with the Redskins was not very eventful. Matter of fact, he got traded midseason to the Redskins, so he was actually starting to drop off with the Packers and then really dropped off with the Redskins, so I don't see him as a guy. But Adrian Phillips, you know, with the Chargers, he's out there available. Kenny Vaccaro, I think he's kind of washed, but that's just me. So, I mean, there's a lot of options. I just want to caution, if you want the Raiders to go after Landon Collins, does that mean you don't believe in Carl Joseph long term? Because they're both young. Carl Joseph is 26. Landon Collins is 25. Just turned 25 in January. So you got to make a smart decision, not just for the short term, but for the long term. Like if you go after Eric Weddle, I'd be cool with that. Eric Weddle and Carl Joseph, that'd be cool. Especially when it'd probably be only a 2-year deal. I can't see Eric Weddle getting more, maybe a 3-year deal, maybe a 2-year deal with like a third year option or something. But he's 34 years old. You got to take that into consideration. I know that he takes really good care of his body. I know he's going to be in game shape. He's going to be ready to go. He's going to be a leader out there on that back end, something that Paul Gunther is definitely going to want. But is that the dude? You know, does he want to go to the Raiders? I mean, the Raiders went after him before and he chose Baltimore over them. And you know that it is what it is. So maybe he doesn't want to go to the Raiders. Maybe he's wanting to go pursue a team like the Cowboys who pursued him as well. I mean, there's a bunch of different options out there. So don't just hit your wagon to one guy. Don't just look at Landon Collins because he's the first shiny object out there and think, man, that's the best way. Again, like my grandmother said before back in the day, man, just because it looks good don't mean it is good. Just because it feels good don't mean it is good. You know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't never lied. You know, God rest her soul. She was absolutely right about all that. And then some. So just be careful. I just caution you, again, with free agency, it gets me nervous because a lot of times free agents are guys that are overpaid and don't really put out the production that you want once they hit free agency and once one team allows them to go. CJ Mosley is a guy that we talked about before on the podcast on Tuesday's show. I'm intrigued by him. I would love the Raiders to kick the tires on him and see what he's talking about and see what he wants and see if they can compete. I think Baltimore ultimately is going to re-sign him, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting how this free agency opens up. It's the 6th. There's 5 days until legal tampering begins. Will the Raiders fire off right out the chutes and get active? Or will they sit back and let that little first wave go and then get into it slowly but surely? That's going to be a case to see. And now we'll kind of know. We'll kind of know exactly how they're going to play things by what they do on March 11th at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, and 1 p.m. on the West Coast, because that's when legal tampering begins. So very interested to see that. But there's going to be more guys released between now and then, too. That's the thing. Guys are getting released daily. The Raiders might start releasing some guys. Who knows? By the time you listen to this, there may be 3 Raiders already released. We don't know. We don't know yet, but we will. That's my thoughts on the safety position. Landon Collins looks really good, but remember you have Carl Joseph, so what do? Do you want both? I don't. But maybe you do. 707-654-4693. That is the Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line, and I got calls coming up next in segment number 3 on the Locked On Raiders Podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, Wednesday, March 6, 2019, flying through the month of March already. Looking at that March 11th date, that's when legal tampering begins. And then March 13th, that's when the floodgates open for free agency. And then once that's really done, once that big first tier and even the second tier are done signing where they're going to go, then all of a sudden it's all draft. It's all full speed ahead. NFL draft, April 25th, Nashville. Cannot wait to be there. It's going to be awesome. And this is the most important draft in the history of the Oakland Raiders. And I cannot wait to be on hand, firsthand for it. I'm not going to miss it. I refuse to miss it. So it's going to go down in a major way. Raider Nation, hold your breath, buckle up tight, whatever it is you want to say, but you got to do it because, man, oh, man, they have to get it right this year. Speaking of getting it right, I got to hit these phone calls. Locked On Raider Podcast voicemail line is 707-654-4693. Got a handful of calls I want to get to today. Let's start things off with my man Raider J from BK. If you remember, I said on Tuesday's show that he had a really good call, but I couldn't understand him, and I was hoping he called back. Well, the good thing is Raider J from BK did. He's calling to talk about the combine stuff, John Gruden being called the worst poker player ever, and what Gruden is actually doing. He also briefly talks about Le'Veon Bell and what he thinks if Gruden goes and gets him. Here's Raider J from the BK.
Hey, first off, I loved your Daniel Jeremiah podcast. It made me realize how little I know about the mechanics of the combine or the draft. This idea that Gruden is the worst poker player, I actually think that Mack and Gruden, who are both really polished media guys and love to talk a lot, I think they went to the combine with the goal of misdirected teams. One example is that Gruden, he's been pumping him from the beginning, and he said he would be shocked if Murray was around at number four. And so I actually think that's led to a lot of chatter from Arizona. I think Arizona's going to trade Rosen, and they're going to pick up Murray, and they got to do it at number one because they know they can't trade back because Gruden keeps threatening that he's going to take him at number four. So I actually think, regardless of what Peter King thinks, I actually think that's an absolute power move by Gruden. And the result is we actually will get a crack at Bosa, Williams, or Allen, which would be amazing. Last thing I would say is that if we sign Le'Veon Bell, then this is the clearest sign that everything I just said is nonsense and then Gruden doesn't know what he's doing. Just to put this in perspective, the average cap spend across the NFL for running back groups, that is all the running backs on a single team, is $6 million or 3% of a team's cap. Bell was getting $13 million a year or 8% of the cap, and he wants $25 million or 12% of a cap. So to me, Bell is a hard pass for the Raiders. Same math works on wide receivers. Average cap for a wide receiver group spend across teams is $19 million or 8% of a team's cap, and that's 8 or 10 guys on a single team. Brown alone would chew up 11% of a team's cap. So I personally would pass on Brown, but I get it given the unique situation we're in. One, we know he's a monster on the field. Two, Carr needs weapons in a proving year. Three, the Oakland fan base needs something to get excited about. And lastly, we're moving to Las Vegas. They got to sell a bunch of PSLs and commercial sponsorships heading into that move. And you need some improvement on the field, and you need, you know, some people that you can point to, like an Antonio Brown. So anyway, that's it for me. And keep up the good work on the podcast. Thanks.
Good stuff right there, my man. I appreciate you for calling back. You know, and sometimes that happens, man. You know, cell phones are tricky like that. Sometimes they go out. Sometimes they sound good. You never know, man. They got a mind of their own, but it's all good. All right, next call comes from my man Keith in Northern Cali. He's calling to talk about the Derek Carr conversation, and my man is fired up. As a matter of fact, he's talking about the Derek Carr hate. All right, he's going to take you down memory lane as far as Raider quarterbacks go. I love the passion on my man's call. Here's Keith in Northern Cali.
Yeah, this is Keith Mamides from Sonora, California, huge Raiders fan. What I'm getting at is all the Derek Carr hate. I don't know if a lot of these Raider fans, you know, around have watched the Raiders quarterbacks, you know, I don't know, mid-'80s to present day. I was born in 1980, so I don't remember, you know, Jimmy Plunkett and, you know, the baddest quarterbacks I saw was Rich Gannon. You know, I grew up with Schrader and Berline and, you know, Donald Hollis, Billy Joe Hobert, whatever the hell his name was. You know, the last 25 years or whatever, the three best quarterbacks you've had for the Raiders, Rich Gannon, Derek Carr, and I guess you can throw in Jason Campbell. He had a solid 8-8 season, and then he got hurt that next season, 2011. That's it. Oh, let's throw Matt McGloin in there as well. I'm tired of the Derek Carr hate. And, you know, it's ridiculous. And so a lot of these Raider fans must be, I don't know, have forgotten or maybe just became Raider fans in these last 10 years or so. But it's starting to be garbage in me. I'm really starting to hate it. And I think it's trash. And they loved him, you know, back in when he got him to the playoffs. You know, they don't get to the playoffs with Khalil Mack, you know, 20 sacks or whatever. No, that defense was still terrible. They were giving up a boatload of points. What did Khalil Mack do in that playoff game, the wild card game against the Houston Texans? Nothing. Nothing. They don't win that game. It's ridiculous. I'm just real frustrated. But, you know, I hope this call makes the show. And maybe shut a lot of these Raider fans up, you know, on the hate with Derek Carr. Let's, you know, hate something on the deep ends as well. And, you know, maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they'll get it through their heads that Derek Carr is a solid quarterback, and he's been the best quarterback since Rich Gannon. That's embarrassing. I mean, I love Derek Carr. He's great. He's great. But, I mean, Rich Gannon was done in 2004, 2005, and, you know, that's almost 20 years ago. We finally got a solid quarterback, and people hate on him. It's ridiculous. Anyways, Keith Moniz, Sonora, California. I'm out. Peace.
Great stuff, my man. Like I said before that call, great passion. I love to hear that, man. Nothing wrong with being a little fired up on the Locked On Raider podcast. That's what we're here for, 707-654-4693. Now, Brother Marquise in the 305 repping Miami one time. He's got a pretty lengthy call, but he's very informative and detailed on his feelings around the combine-related stuff. He starts out talking to DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, and more. I'll let it be known, Brother Marquise, he really likes DK Metcalf, or at least he respects him. Here he is.
Raider Nation, it's your brother from another mother, Brother Marquis, calling about some of this combine stuff. I'm really calling in regards to Mr. John Train's phone call yesterday and regarding DK Metcalf and AJ Brown and all that stuff. And I got to be honest with you, I've been on that DK Metcalf train for a long time. Q, if you remember, I called you back before Thanksgiving, telling you about how good the wide receiver class was and how people were underestimating it. And when we were first talking about what should we give away, Amari Cooper, all that kind of stuff. And you were referring to, you said you really like N'Keal Harry. And we had kind of a conversation via the podcast that way. But I really want to talk about John Train when he was talking about A.J. Brown versus D.K. Metcalf. Honestly, man, it's not even a conversation. I mean, A.J. Brown, honestly, goodness, is one of the most overrated wide receivers in the draft class. He, if you really watch him, which I've done, he is exclusively used in the slot. The only times when they tried to put him outside, he couldn't beat his man. He can't play against press coverage, which is why they put him in the slot. A.J. Brown, he can develop into a good wide receiver, but he is not an impact. D.K. Metcalf, guys, is a legitimate wide receiver. Don't tell me about his lack of production and his injury history. Injury history is a concern, but you know what? I'm sorry, guys. It's football. You can get hurt on any play. Okay? Anybody can get hurt on any play. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's football. You know, as long as none of his injuries in the are something they think is reoccurring or career ending, then you got to look at it what it is. The guy's healthy. Now I hear a lot of people also talking about the short shuttle and all that kind of stuff. You know, listen, the short shuttle and all that stuff measures agility, which is important for a wide receiver. Except for when you run a 4.3 and you're 6.5 or 6.4, okay? You don't need as much separation. Your speed and size give you separation. You know who else had a bad three cone and short shuttle? DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, Mike Evans, all those guys. Why? Because they're bigger. You know who had one of the worst short shuttles last year? Saquon Barkley. He's pretty agile. Guys, is overrated. All these metrics are overrated. All you can do is look for potential. That being said, I'm not saying that we should draft DK Metcalf at number 4. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is, a lot of people, shoot people up draft boards because of their combine, but then you got some people who just want to almost shoot people down because they're good athletes. And just because you say, oh, well, you know what? He's that good of an athlete. Well, you know, he's over 80. He's not that good of a player. You know? Well, you know what? Some of these guys are really good athletes, and some of them are really good players. And DK Metcalf is a really good player. You know, and he you know, and you could sit there and think otherwise because he didn't have a million catches when you play in an Ole Miss offense. And if you watch the SEC and you knew Ole Miss, then you know that they ran probably about 25 plays on offense. You know, and so my point being, whether his production matches what you wanted it to be, you know, the guy's talented. And whether that means you take him at four, I'm not saying you should. But the guy's talented, and if you're a coach getting paid $100 million and you can't make something work with that size and that skill level, then maybe you shouldn't be getting paid $100 million. I mean, that guy is a talented guy, you know. So let's not beat up people, you know. And let's not, you know, whether you think we could take a wide receiver at four or not, that's a different argument. But you know, the kids can play, man. You know, so. Let's not just beat him up because he ran a fast 40 because he's big. Tell him, oh, he's David Boston. You know what? David Boston was a pretty damn good wide receiver until he decided he didn't want to play no more and he'd rather lift weight. But he was a pretty damn good wide receiver if you remember. But I have to hammer home one more point. Explain to me why everyone gets on these people who have a great combine, like, you know, DK Metcalf, for example, which we were just talking about. You know, everyone gets on them for flying up draft boards. Why does no one mention or anybody talk about all of a sudden Kyler Murray flying up a draft board, number one draft pick overall? Why? Because he's 5'10 and 200 pounds now? What about that? How is that any different than people flying off draft boards because of their combine speed or their size? I mean, combine speed. Well, his size is all of a sudden making him go up the draft board. And which is ridiculous to me. And you make the same argument, oh, well, he played well and he did blah, blah, blah. Well, it's still ridiculous to me because at the end of the day, whether he's 5'10 and 195 pounds, guess what? He would have been in the zero percentile for quarterbacks at 5'9 and 195 pounds. You know what he is probably for 5'10 and 205 pounds? The zero percentile for quarterback size. So still. So what has changed? So, just thought that was interesting when I was just thinking about that. So, anyway, Brother Marquise out.
All right, Brother Marquise in the 305. Appreciate that call. Repping Miami one time. And I'm really glad that you weren't talking DK Metcalf at number four because I'm 100% against that. And I'm not hating on the guy. All right, I brought up David Boston, and I know that David Boston was a good wide receiver, but he sure wasn't a good wide receiver after he started getting super swole. That was just one of my concerns. And the first image that popped in my head when I saw DK Metcalf and that picture that was floating around Twitter well before the combine, that's all I could think of was David Boston. So I'm not trying to say he is David Boston, and I do know that he was a hell of a wide receiver, but I just – that's the first thing that came to my mind, my man. And so that's just why I said that. I know a lot of folks have actually hit me up, and I know what you're saying. So we'll see if the Raiders go and grab him. I don't think he's worthy of a top 10 pick. But, again, I'm not a talent evaluator like that. I'm not a guy in the room that's pulling the trigger on who's getting drafted. But I just don't think that the Raiders need to go and pull. I feel like that's going to be a reach. That's my concern. So I get everything you're saying about the combine and why is it okay to get all super excited about the combine when somebody does really, really well and then, you know, poo-poo on someone when they do really bad or vice versa or talk about DK Metcalf as just being a freak because he did so well. I get it. But what I said about the combine from the very get-go is this does not make or break anything for me. The combine just confirms what I already know. And so that's what I'm going to go back to. I like N'Keal Harry a lot out of Arizona State. I like Keyshawn Johnson out of Fresno State. I like those dudes a lot. Those are, I would rather have those guys over DK Metcalf any day. But that's, again, that's just me. I appreciate your call, though. I thought it was awesome. Now, closing things out today is my man Vader Raider in the 303. He's calling in to talk about rumors coming out of the combine, including the Raiders shopping Derek Carr, and what that would mean for the Raiders draft moving forward. Also, he's ready to put that Khalil Mack conversation to rest as well. Here's Vader Raider in the 303.
What's up, Q? It's your boy Vader Raider. Haven't called a little bit, but after listening to the pod last week and listening to today's show, I don't want to cause an environment of chaos or conspiracy, but I have something I want to throw out there. After hearing everything from the combine and all the rumors that, you know, he said were going to come out. You know, I believe where there's smoke, there's fire. And if John Gruden is seriously considering trading Derek Carr, which I don't think he does, because you don't put this much time and effort into somebody and you turn around and trade him. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But if he did, then I think that the draft would all of a sudden get turned on its head, because if you think about it, then it becomes a question of who gets drafted then at that point. What quarterback gets drafted? What young wide receiver gets drafted? Because I'm going to tell you right now, trading Derek Carr means the Raiders are going young. Not trading Derek Carr means there's a possibility of A.B. and drafting defense. I mean, you know, either way, the Raiders have to rebuild. They have to stockpile, and they have to build this team back up. But, like I'm saying, if we do decide to go that route and decide, hey, we're going to go ahead and trade Derek Carr, which is it's a terrible idea, but we trade Derek Carr, then we get a young quarterback in the draft, and then now we're talking about drafting young wide receivers, young running backs, getting young. It would totally upset everything that we think is going to happen. So, couple things you mentioned last week: John Ross, hard no; Michael Crabtree, even harder no. Okay, we don't need to go down that road. We don't need Derek going down that road if that's where we're going. You guys talked about Khalil Mack a little bit. You know, I think the Khalil Mack talk needs to go away. Khalil Mack had his chance to be a Raider. He didn't want to be a Raider. He's now a Chicago Bear. I know it hurts everybody, but we need to move on. You know, Khalil Mack isn't here anymore. He's a member of the Chicago Bears. He is not an Oakland Raider. So I want to deal with people on this team that are Oakland Raiders. I want to enjoy them. Anyway, Q, it was a great pod last week. Great start to the week. Raider, Raider, out.
All right, great stuff, my man. Definitely appreciate that. Vader Raider in the 303, Brother Marquise in the 305 in Miami one time, Keith in Northern Cali, and Raider J from BK. Appreciate those calls. Appreciate all the feedback that we've been getting on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Also appreciate anyone who hits me up on Twitter and sends me messages. You can always get at me at your boy Q254. So until Thursday's episode, Raider Nation, got a lot more coming for you in store. Got more calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Like I said, I've been working on some interviews to drop in there this week as well, and that's coming up as well. This is the Locked On Raider podcast. So until next time, just win, baby.